Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? We're back. It's Monday night or afternoon, wherever you are in the world. And free agent frenzy has begun. Legal tampering is open. And I'd like to say it's gone off, Murph, but it's not gone off quite possibly how we imagined.
No, it has. I mean, like Rich and I were on earlier. Hopefully you've listened to that podcast to get yourself ready for this one. And, you know, we did sort of say we expected it to be maybe a slow and steady start. And it's fair to say that nearly 3 hours in, that is kind of where we're at, or we're coming up to the 3 hour mark as we're talking now. But there have been some significant deals that have been done. And there's definitely some talks of rumors and trades potentially going around as well. So, but they are at this stage just rumors. So it'd be interesting to see what happens whilst we're live on air. This is kind of one of the most fun podcasts of the year because the show notes are pretty short. We've got some things to talk about, but just chaos could ensue, which should be good fun as we go through this period.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of planned this a little while ago, obviously, with free agency coming right now, and we sort of maybe forgot that legal tampering began at the beginning of the week. So we were planning for Wednesday and then thought, actually, Murph quite rightly pointed out that legal tampering starts on Monday. So we got to where we are now. And I suppose we should just run through some of the deals that have already happened. And hopefully something exciting happens whilst we are live on, not Periscope. Is it Periscope or is that now dead?
It's about to go. I mean, it's technically Periscope, so.
Oh, and YouTube. We are live on YouTube as well. So, yeah, hopefully something exciting. And if you're listening on the pod, then we'll fill you in anything that happens whilst we're here and then maybe help your information as we go along. So we'll start at the beginning. Is it the beginning of the alphabet? Arizona? Arizona is definitely up there. They're bringing back punter Andy Lee to a one-year deal. And they're also bringing back pass rusher Marcus Golden on a two-year, $9 million deal. Anything to take away from those two to start, Murph?
I mean, a punter's a punter. No, but, you know, Andy Lee, punter, like, he's a veteran. Good luck to him. I mean, it is what it is. At least he's got a job. Marcus Golden, so interesting one because he was originally with the Cardinals. I think he went to New York and then Arizona traded back for him. So it would have been a surprise to for him to have gone. So they did get this one done very early, just after legal tampering began. So makes sense. You know, there's some good pass rushers in this class of free agents, and it wasn't a big surprise to me given how important they are to sort of see three get re-signed back with their teams within the first sort of 30 minutes of the tampering period opening.
I with regards to stuff that is rumor wise as anything that you've seen rumor-wise before we get to the rest of it that you think, oh, that would be good for free agency, or that's a terrible move?
So just actually had some breaking news while we're talking about pass rushers that the Patriots are actually finalizing a deal, or they have finalized a deal for Matt Judon. So the Patriots have gone big in free agency, and Matt Judon is going to be a Patriot, which is a fantastic signing. Contract is at this stage, but he was one of the best pass rushers on the board. So a big, big signing for the Patriots. Back to rumor-wise, I would say there's talk of, and this hasn't been verified anywhere majorly significant, but it's definitely making the rounds on Twitter, that DJ Chark is potentially going to the Ravens with picks for Orlando Brown, which would be a very interesting trade if that goes down, and a proper potential win-win for each party. It depends on what picks go in, of course.
Yeah, that'd be big time for Lamar as well, finally getting himself a receiver that's capable, especially on the outside, of somebody's size and stature like DJ is. we talked about the Patriots. They've signed tight end Jonnu Smith. So cue the fantasy world going bananas for Jonnu Smith in drafts coming up. He's signed to a four-year $50 million, $31.25 million guaranteed. So Jonnu Smith was with the Titans last year. But since Gronkowski at New England, the most tight end receiving yards in a season was Ryan Izzo with 199 yards. So make of that what you will, Rush Nation. But Jonnu Smith, great for him money-wise. Probably not great fantasy-wise.
No, I mean, everyone's going to go nuts and overprice Jonnu Smith. But, you know, it's a put in the dock here that, you know, Patriots tight ends have not had yard. And people go, oh, well, you know, Ryan Izzo, who's that? And exactly that. And they haven't had great talent at that position. But you've got Cam Newton there. They might go and get somebody else in free agency or in the draft. But I'm not excited for... I would have preferred Jonnu Smith to have landed somewhere else. And he's someone that, you know, I wouldn't invest any more draft capital than I would have done prior to this news anyway. I just think he's someone that is not worth a significant investment. If he's still there in the 12th, 13th round, yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, he's as good as any other name you're going to get there, but I wouldn't be excited to be drafting Jonnu Smith, and I certainly wouldn't be expecting him to be anywhere in the top six or seven tight ends of the position.
On the flip side of that, then, if you do own him in Dynasty, it's not a terrible idea to try and sell him right now as a sell high candidate with what people are expecting from the sort of quote-unquote New England Patriots tight end.
Yeah, I definitely would be trying to flip him. Again, you know, shouldn't be getting hype, but people will value him, and I'd be trying to trade him to a Patriots fan who will be very excited by that move and try and extract that.
So Detroit are bringing back pass rusher Romeo Okwara for three years, $390 million. So that's good in the opposite side of the ball to Jared Goff.
Yeah, he was sneaky good last year, career high 10 sacks. He played pretty well last season. And I think there were a few teams that were looking at him, and he got signed within the first 30 minutes of the tampering period. So I think Detroit have done pretty well to bring him back.
That deal was probably already done, right? And they were just waiting for the legal time to be able to pull the
trigger. I don't think so. I think it was like pretty close, and maybe they were ratifying it. I don't know. But it didn't get sort of texted out by the agent, and that's kind of the first sign it's done until just after midday. So it clearly wouldn't have talked to anybody else. So they'll be happy to have him back in the building and hope he can improve on last season.
For sure. Fire the cannons, big man. Shaq Barrett is returning, or I should say staying, at Tampa Bay. Signed a four-year, $72 million deal with $36 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, this was a massive deal. Biggest one of the day so far in terms of the player and the contract size. I mean, he was number two on NFL.com's top 101 free agents, Super Bowl winner. It looks likely this deal was going to get done. Shaq Barrett 2 years ago played on a prove it year of 1 year, $4 million deal when he signed from the Broncos. And then he was put on the tag last year, and he refused to discuss any deal until the tag was placed on someone else. That was placed on Godwin. Talk started to happen. People might be starting to wonder how the Buccaneers are affording to do all of this. His cap number next year for the 2021 year is $5.6 million. So there's a lot of money pushed into future years. But for a player like Shaq Barrett, who over the last 2 years has done a really great job, I think this is a win-win for all sides. Premier pass rusher in the free agency period, coming off the Super Bowl win, you're bringing the bat back together. And for him, he gets security. You know, for the last 2 years, he's rented a home because he's not been on a long-term contract, and now he can finally give his family that support. So I think all parties will be very, very happy here. And I've got no doubt if he went into free agency, he probably would have got more money. So I think there's a little bit of a discount there, but the Buccaneers made sure that he didn't talk to any other team, and he remains on the roster, which is great news for everybody.
Carolina, this one's taken some flack in the group chat of our staff members. Carolina has signed, or have signed, offensive lineman Pat Elfin to a 3-year, $13.5 million, $6 million guaranteed. Elfin was with the Jets, and Tom and Rich have both sort of said how bad of a deal this is.
Yeah, like, terrible player. I say terrible. It's harsh. He's a backup. He's a backup guard on starter money. I'm not infused by this signing in the slightest. I don't think anyone is. I don't even think Carolina fans will be infused by this. It'd be interesting to see where the guaranteed money sits. Hopefully it's not tied in for too long, but yeah, I wouldn't be that excited to be having him on my team, basically, to put it bluntly. It's not the kind of news that you would be getting out of your seat for. So, yeah, I think...
Going back to New England, they've signed nose tackle Davon. Oh, this is a tricky one. Godshoe?
Yeah. Or Godshoe.
Yeah. Godshoe, yeah, like the bun. Godshoe. I mean, this is... Send him in on a postcard, Rush Nation. Davon, postcard insert name here, to a 2-year, $16 million deal. $9 million of that is guaranteed. He was with the Dolphins. Lee, is that actually his name? Godshoe?
Yeah, Davon Godshoe.
If you are watching on the video, apologies, you can't hear Lee, but he did just confirm that that was Davon Godshoe. So don't worry about the postcards. This the deal that, I suppose, just Patriots spending money, right?
Yeah, I think it's good business. There's a big position in need, defensive tackle. It's not a big risk. I thought he's played reasonably well since with the Dolphins. I think it's a sensible move, and it's also taking off a division rival. I'm not sure, and Lee probably knows better than me, whether there were any desires to bring him back. I would have been surprised if there wasn't at least a conversation to bring him back, given that there is cap space. But yeah, I think on the whole, I think it's a good move for the Patriots. It's a big position in need. Probably one of the top two or three nose tackles in free agency. So yeah, I like it. I think it's a good move. Speaking of defensive tackles, we actually just have a huge contract for a defensive tackle come off the board. And the Jaguars have agreed to sign former Bears defensive tackle Roy Robertson Harris on a 3-year, $24.4 million deal with $14 million in guarantees. So Urban Meyer is clearly setting his sights on getting both his offensive and defensive line sorted before the draft, or he's definitely at least signaling that he's going to be making some moves to get these lines sorted, and not a bad place to fire. And It's a big amount of money for a DT, but it's not silly money. I think it's pretty shrewd business from the Jags there, and for the first signing in the Urban Meyer era, should we say? It could have been a lot worse. I think it's a good bit of business.
I thought you were going to go with regime there, but we will.
I'm going to try and keep those kind of verbiage off when I'm talking about Urban Meyer.
We go back to Carolina. They've signed another offensive tackle. Cam Irving has joined the Panthers. 2 years, $10 million, $8 million guaranteed. Although you've left the $8 million. So is that $8 guaranteed? Has he signed a real big... No, I know. I'm joking. $10 million, $8 million guaranteed. The Panthers shoring up with the offensive line somewhat, possibly, maybe. Who knows?
I mean, former Dolphin spent last year with the Cowboys again. I'm not looking at Cam Irving as a starting quality tackle. Don't think he was particularly great in Miami. Think he was even worse in Dallas. Not coming off productive period. So I'm a bit head scratching as to what Carolina are doing right now with their lines, especially the offensive line, signing the guys that they have done. You know, they freed up this cap space. They got rid of a lot of guys. If I was Carolina fans right now, I'd be really panicking a little bit. It's very early, you know. They can make a lot of moves, and you know, they're signing backup players to near starter money, and I'd be a little bit concerned about that.
Moving on, the Texans are going to sign wide receiver Andre Roberts to a 2-year, $5.95 million deal. He was with the Bills, $5.95 million.
I mean, yeah, it's a special teams player, one of the best punt returners in the game. That's kind of what you're paying for there, and it's an interesting deal. I think it's sensible given how bad they were on special teams last year.
Jalen Mills to the Patriots.
Yeah, I've just seen that. 4 years, $24 million. Sorry, Lee's in the air. Yeah, Jalen Mills, 4 years, $24 million, $9 million guaranteed. So the Patriots are attacking free agency. They did have the largest free agency. They've walked away with Jonnu Smith, Davon Godchow, Matt Judon, and Jalen Mills. That's four players in 4 hours. They've signed.
Fast pace in New England. Steelers have announced that Vice President and General Manager Kevin Colbert has signed a 1-year contract extension.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a fairly good job. Deserves the extension. Well-known, long-standing executive in the league. So it kind of makes sense. A strange day to announce that. Maybe there's been a bit of a protest or something against him and they kind of wanted to bury that in the news cycle. I don't know why you would announce it today of all days, but, you know, hey, what do I know?
The Texans are signing linebacker Kamu Grigahill in a 1-year deal worth up to $3.25 million. He was formerly with the Dolphins.
Yeah, so Nick Caserio actually drafted him when he was at the Patriots. It's a prove-it deal worth up to probably very low base salary, giving him an opportunity to compete. I mean, that Texans defense is pretty terrible. Who's to say if he's going to contribute as a starter or on special teams? But, you know, this is a player that Nick Caserio has a file on already and knows. So I think it's an interesting bit of business. It could be very shrewd and very low risk with that kind of deal.
The 49ers are re-signing cornerback Jason Verrett to a 1-year deal worth $5.5 million.
Yeah, so re-signing, again, they'd be very happy to get him back. I know that the priority for the 49ers is to re-sign as many of their free agents as they can, and they get Verrett back. And yeah, he's been good since he's been there. So again, another shrewd bit of business by John Lynch there.
Yeah, we've mentioned the Matt Judon to New England. Jacksonville have signed defensive tackle Roy Robertson-Harris, and Jalen Mills is signing with the New England Patriots. And that brings us right up to date with any breaking news, unless anything has broken since I've been talking.
No, so I think we were talking about rumours before. So, you know, the ones that I'm hearing, and we talked about the trade DJ Chark to the Ravens. Gronk has said he might dip his toes into free agency. Yeah, I'm not sure he's doing anything other than trying to get a few quid more out of the Buccaneers. he's already said on so many times. I mean, like, he threatened to the year he retired, they were going to trade him to Detroit, and he said, "I'll retire. If you trade me, I'll retire. I'm not going." He's got no desire to play for anyone other than
Tom Brady.
He came out of retirement for Brady. He doesn't need the money.
Yeah.
I think he wants a bit extra. Fine. I think a deal gets done for him to return in Tampa. You know, he says he's going to dip his toe.
Knock yourself out. Obviously, Juju, no idea what's happening with him. That could be a fairly big one.
Yeah, I would look at we've now got a really interesting dynamic here with the receivers, because you've got Golladay, you've got Juju, you've got Corey Davis, who is a former top five, top 10 pick in the draft. You've got some really good depth receivers. Watkins is in there. Marvin Jones is in there. You know, you've got some really interesting depth in this wide receiver class, and a lot of teams need wide receivers. So I think it's really interesting in terms of what they're trying to do at the position and who's going to potentially bring them in. If I'm honest, I don't think any of those are going to get ridiculous money. I don't know who's going to get the most. I can't see anybody earning over 15 mil a year on average. Maybe 16 at a push, but I can't be seeing these 18, 19, 20 million deals. Marks, it wouldn't surprise me to see any of them sign 2-year deals. Maybe Juju's the only one I think who has less question marks because he has at least been fit all those years, but he has sort of gone off the boil a little bit. Just a new one on the Patriots. So they haven't signed anyone new in the last few minutes, which is surprising. But they have signed four Patriots, as we said. Jonnu Smith, Devonga Chow, Trent Brown, and Jalen Mills. They all have the same agent. So Drew Rosenhaus is their agent. They've had a great day. Drew Rosenhaus has said, I've known Coach Belichick for 30 years, and that experience was beneficial to getting these deals done. I mean, he's had a wicked day. It's also the most amount of money that the Patriots have spent on free agents in any offseason over the last decade. And they've done that in 3 hours.
I saw someone say, it's almost like he saw Tom Brady win a Super Bowl somewhere else.
I mean, it's an interesting one because what does this, what, you know, Rich and I were talking about this on the podcast earlier. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it, because we said it before any of the tampering started. And we were talking about the Patriots as their real dark horses, because they're one of these teams that they're kind of in a bit of a stuck situation because of this quarterback position where they're at, but they have lots of money. They clearly, and don't forget, they got a lot of guys on defense that coming back didn't play last year because they sat out. So they have a pretty good roster with, I mean, they have some holes, but not good enough to go deep into the playoffs, especially without the quarterback. So they're kind of buying these players looking like they're going to be challenging for the division. But I don't, it's almost like they're putting themselves back into purgatory position, because they're never going to be drafting high enough to get this quarterback that they need. Because they're getting guys who will improve their roster. They will improve, but you almost need to go the other way. You always need to tank to get the guy that you really need to push you on. I mean, unless they know something that Bill Belichick, that is also probably true. So I think it's an interesting one to see what happens there. I did hear a very, very interesting rumor today, and this isn't to do with free agency, but I think it's a good time to discuss this while we're waiting for something else to happen. So whilst we're waiting for something to happen, let's talk about Mac Jones. Now, I have heard from listening to a few reports and reading a few things that Mac Jones is going to go in the top eight of the NFL draft.
Well, that's good, because we're drafting at 9 and I don't want him at 9.
So they're saying that Carolina are very big fans of Mac Jones.
Listen, what Mac Jones did last year was, it was phenomenal for coming in straight after Tua and doing what he did. And, you know, his tape's good and he has some stuff for the NFL, but is he a top eight pick? I think you've got to really like him and be in fully on him for you to pick him up in the top eight, especially if, I mean, if the field's sort of unhype, as it were, slides a little bit and Carolina can, are you going to take him over Justin Fields? Not for me. It's an interesting one though, especially if it's as circled as you say it is, top eight.
I mean, it's not me saying it. It's just, this is some things that I
heard
have
you say,
read and listened. Yeah, some things that I've heard and some things I've listened to, and from some of the people who are reporting this, it sounds like it sounds very possible that Mac Jones is not going to be there when Denver hit the clock.
But that's absolutely fine in my eyes as a Denver Bronco. Like Lee messaged me yesterday saying, would I send the 9th overall and Jerry Jeudy to number 3? Was it Lee? Is that number 3?
I saw it posited on Twitter. It wasn't me.
Yeah. So Lee was asking if
she said Jerry Jeudy. Like, no.
Yeah. Well, that was my thought exactly. But at 9, we've got all the weapons on offense now. We've got a young based offensive skill position offense. And if you're not sold on Drew Locke, then you give him one more year. You draft, if Caleb Farley is there at number 9, he is, an unbelievable prospect at cornerback. We are desperate for corners at Denver. So if we pick up somebody with experience in free agency at cornerback and then pair him with Caleb Farley, you know, we had the AJ Bouye experiment. That didn't work out. We drafted Michael Ujemudia last year. He could be a complimentary corner to Farley and then a veteran. So you then wait, well, if the team sucks again next year, we'll make a real play for Sam Howell. But to not draft who some are saying is the best defensive prospect in this draft, Caleb Farley at 9, it would be silly for me.
Okay.
Well, where do you stand on Mac Jones? I mean,
I don't think he's a top 8 prospect. I don't think he's terrible. I'd have him over Trey Lance.
Okay.
I wouldn't blink twice. If you gave me the choice between the two, I'd take Mac Jones, and I wouldn't hesitate. But I'm a lot lower on Trey Lance than a lot of people. I just don't see what people look. The upside's incredible. Of course it is.
I think.
But
now you mentioned Mac Jones to Carolina. I think as a fit.
I mean, it's a great fit.
It's a superb fit because what Mac Jones does best is stand in the pocket, pass the football, and has great anticipation on his throws. And there's nothing more than having good anticipation when passing to players like DJ Moore. If Curtis Samuel returns, that sort of gadget guy.
I can't see that. I can't see him returning. You know,
Christian McCaffrey's going to be back. They're the kind of guys who Mac Jones could just slice people open with. Now they've got these huge new offensive tackles over in Carolina protecting Mac Jones. But it is, I don't hate the fit now you've brought it up, but I just don't think he's a top 8 prospect.
No, but I don't think Trey Lance is a top 8 prospect. I don't think Justin Fields is a top 8 prospect. But they're quarterbacks. So they're the ones that are going to go off the board. For me, the only top eight prospects for me on this board that are quarterbacks are Trevor Lawrence and Wilson. They're the only two for me that are top eight. I'm not saying that Fields is going to slide, but he's not. He's not going to slide because someone's going to take him.
Yeah.
But as we saw this 2 years ago with Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones, just because a quarterback is available and you need one, it does not necessarily mean that drafting them is a good idea. As Washington have found out, you know, I need a quarterback. We're going to take one at 15, no matter what, and whoever's there. Like, it's the same as a fantasy draft. If you shoehorn into that strategy, you are going to fail. It is going to happen. And this is the problem. I look at some of the QBs in this draft, and Trey Lance is right at the top of this list. I think Trey Lance is a second-round prospect, and I appreciate that is highly controversial. I appreciate that that is a take that is going to – someone is going to clip it and do whatever, right? And I understand that, and I understand I'm not an expert. I'm not a sort of a talent evaluator. I don't work in the NFL. I understand every single aspect of it, nor do I expect Trey Lance to be picked in the second round. I am just saying Trey Lance, to me, is the QB that is going to get a GM fired. He's a QB because he could be anything. He is literally, you might as well spin the roulette wheel and see what comes up, because that is what he's going to be. His range of outcomes is everything. He's literally everything. He could be the worst quarterback ever to have played in the NFL. And that is in his range of outcomes. And like, everyone was going nuts for his pro day. And everyone was like, oh, he was incredible. The guy missed 8 throws. These are predetermined, prescribed throws. The guy missed 8 of them. That is a lot. Like, that is a lot of throws to miss on effectively rhythm and timing. That's a lot of throws.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. You know, I'm higher on Trey Lance than you are, but...
Well, I think everyone in the world is higher on Trey Lance than me, and I accept that. I'm just saying, for me, I am very concerned that if Trey Lance goes at, say, 5, 6, if Atlanta take him at 4, that could be the most horrific pick you will see in some. I mean, we're talking about Trubisky bad pick, and I genuinely believe that.
Yeah,
I mean, he could be incredible. He could sit here, but I was the same guy that was like, Johnny Manziel is not a guy. It's not a guy that I would have wanted anywhere near my team. He's just not a guy that, you know, when he started falling down the board, I was like, wow, the NFL has caught up to the fact that Johnny Manziel is not good enough to start in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't disagree. And it's no, that's a straight up lie. I do disagree, but I can understand where you're coming from. I understand your point of view and your thought process into doing it, because, you know, I know you so well, and I see where you're coming from. But
you know, I think, just to defend it, so the only way I can justify Trey Lance going in the first round is if you do what the Packers did with Jordan Love last year. You've got a quarterback. He's got X amount of time left. So, for example, if the Steelers took Trey Lance, I would get it. I think it's a bit rich, but I'd get it. I'd go, I get that. Because you've got no succession plan. You've got a year with Ben. He can sit with Ben for a year. You move Ben on next year. You go with Lance. If that's your plan and you take Lance, then you take him in the 20-somethings, for me, I think that's fine. Same way with Jordan Love. I mean, the thing I didn't get with the Jordan Love pick last year was they needed something to win now, and it's cost them. Like, it's absolutely cost them.
Yeah.
And I think for the Steelers, I wouldn't do it, because you might as well go out and you might as well go all in to win this year, because the Chiefs are heavily hampered by not having an offensive line. And this is the year to go and push all your chips in the middle. So I think the Chiefs will fix that offensive line, and I think they'll be dominant for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But I think this is the year that you've got a window. But at least I would say, well, there's a plan. I get it. I get that with Trey Lance. I just don't. I think if you were going to start him on day one of the NFL season, I struggle with what you're expecting.
I think there's going to be some fairly exciting conversations down the road when we find out after the draft as to what's going to happen and why. I mean, I think you're right about the Chiefs rebuilding that offensive line, though, and I think that's why Denver will do everything they can to bring Von Miller back this year to maximize, because we play them twice, and if their offensive line is in tatters, and it's only this year that it's weak, not tatters, but it's weaker than it will be for the forthcoming, maybe Denver make a real push on the defensive line to try and get to Mahomes.
Do you think Denver are in a play for the division?
No, of course not. But if you are playing your division rival twice, and you know that their weakness is offensive line, that's where you've got to go after them, because otherwise the Broncos don't have the firepower to keep up with Drew Lock at the moment, and they certainly don't have the defense unless they do some real work at corner to be able to stop Mahomes. So the way to get to Mahomes at the moment is through the offensive line, which is currently a big bag of money.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting period to see what happens, because you've got good. That's a good division now, because you've got the Chargers, and they've got money. They can go and get some pieces to get better. The Raiders aren't terrible. They're a few players away from potentially making a playoff run. I think if you're Denver, you need to have a serious rethink as to what you want to do, because you're the fourth best team in that division, and I don't know how Denver can improve that in the short term. If the plan is to re-sign Von Miller, I think you've got to sign him to a long-term deal, and it makes sense. But I think if almost you have to do it, even if you get him on a short-term deal and try and trade him to get picks, I get that logic. I just think you've got to do something. I think it's an interesting time. This is why I love free agency, because now it's... you're starting to get the sense of what teams are going to do. And this is like Christmas Day. All the teams now are really... it's such an underrated week, this. This is why we do so many pods, because this is the foundations of where Super Bowl teams are made. Look, I said this on the pod this afternoon. When you look at what Tampa did 12 months ago, you know, it started on the Monday. They're talking to Tom Brady. On the Tuesday, they agree to sign Tom Brady. On the Wednesday, they signed him. 12 months later, here we are. They've got a Lombardi trophy in the cabinet. And that wasn't the only thing that they did. You know, you look at what they did in free agency. They signed him. They signed Fournette. They signed McCoy. Right, McCoy was barely a bit part. You know, they traded for McClendon mid-season when Vea went out, and he played a massive part, massively underrated, McClendon. They brought Antonio Brown in. They brought Gronk in. You know, the foundation of that Super Bowl run was made on those players.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a team that went from 7 wins last season. And you're looking at now teams that could push some chips in and go for this. And we talked about the Colts. They haven't done much yet. You know, we're talking about the Dolphins for me, potentially in a window. They haven't done much yet. You're talking about the Bills haven't done much yet. We see the Patriots are pushing some chips in and they're making the biggest splash right now. Be interesting to see where they go with the quarterback position to see if they can get themselves into a position where potentially they could challenge. The Raiders have some interest, you know, they have quite a bit of cap. They could do something really interesting and take the steps needed to go deep. Tennessee, another real dark horse team. They're knocking on the door every year. You know, they're a few pieces away from putting a deep run together. And I think this is where you're starting to see these building blocks for potential Super Bowl teams. So this is why I love it. And we're going to see what teams are going to be doing over the next 3 or 4 days, which is why we're going to be podding daily to see what happens, because so much changes so quickly, although it's been, fair to say, a slow start. I mean, we've just heard that Jamal Williams is not going to be re-signing in Green Bay.
Oh, AJ
so
Dillon.
He will hit the market. So, yeah, I think it's... This is the time now, if you're a fan of the NFL, regardless of whether you support the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have got a load of cap and can go and do some things, but even the teams that don't have loads of cap right now who are struggling, this is the time to be excited, because, you know, this is the start of where your team is going to be so different. You know, this is the part A of the roster build, part B being the draft in 45 days' time. And all of a sudden you get... Who doesn't love new signings? Who doesn't love new signings? Who doesn't get excited for... I mean, if I was Carolina right now, I'd be absolutely pulling my hair out, going crazy about, like, what are we doing? We're paying backup players startup money. Like, what are we doing? It's crazy. But everybody else... I mean, like, all these deals so far, they don't look massively significant except for one or two. But I think they're all important in their own way, because whether you sign, they don't all have to be names. But, you know, Steve McClendon came to the Buccaneers in a trade mid-season. He was playing in Miami for the Jets. The Buccaneers make a trade. They swap a 6th and a 7th round pick next year for Steve McClendon. Steve McClendon comes in. He plays at an above average level when they don't have Vita Vea. He's part of that run that gets them into the playoffs. And then, okay, Vea comes back for the championship game and he comes back for the Super Bowl. But McClendon played a huge bridge gap there because they were short in depth. The guy costs nothing. He's a free agent this year. Whether he resigns or not, we'll see. But, you know, it's not a signing at the time. Everyone was like, wow, this is amazing. We've signed Steve McClendon. Let's all go get a jersey. But that guy was just as important to the Super Bowl win as Leonard Fournette was.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to die on that hill, because there were some games where he was massive in stopping the run towards the end of the regular season. He had some fantastic games. And it'd be interesting to see what happens. And that's why, you know, your Super Bowl heroes, your playoff heroes, the guys that get you into the postseason won't always be the big names. And that's why I quite like this, because you see, you go back and think, I remember when we signed so-and-so and he wasn't that big a deal, but what a massive impact he's had.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very, it's, you know, the old adage is being very true. You can't have 53 stars on the team because you just don't have the cap space. So that, like you say, because it's not a big name specifically, it then peters through the rest of the team and affecting the rest of the team differently. And, you know, there'll be someone who, it, like for the Broncos, for instance, there's two trains of thought where if we don't add a veteran quarterback to the room before sort of the end of the week, then at nine, because the Broncos were at Trey Lance's pro day and the chance that he might be there at nine, there's a school of thought that perhaps the Broncos might draft a quarterback at nine or move up if they don't add a veteran because they're not happy with Drew Lock. Whereas if they add a veteran, then you can expect them not to go after a quarterback in the draft. So, I mean, you know, let's just say a veteran, let's say Alex Smith, it's not going to happen. But if Alex Smith was to land in Denver, that sort of changes the dynamic going forward. So smaller pieces make bigger moves, right?
I'm not laughing at your point, by the way. I'm laughing at the people at home watching this on the video. Lee has his little girl with him in his arms and she is just cracking everyone up. She's just making her noises. Sorry. I agree. I think it's important what you're getting through, and enjoy the next few days because we're going to have some important pieces of business done. Let's look ahead then, right? So let's look at this. We're 3.5 hours into the tampering period. The Patriots have gone hard. No one else has, you know, the Buccaneers are interested in re-signing their pieces more than anything. The 49ers seem to be doing the same thing. Have you got any predictions of what you think teams are going to be doing? Or let's talk about all those big wide receivers where you think they might end up. I mean, what are your...
I've literally got nothing set in stone that I think is... I've been so, not out of the loop, but my week has, last couple of days have been so mad busy. I mean, I think it's a shame that Golladay isn't in Detroit, because I think he was good there, just a little bit injured. And I think teams that need a big wide receiver, so for instance, maybe Miami, we might see one of these guys end up in Miami. Or if DJ Chark possibly does move away, do we see one of these guys? Hang on, Murphy's typing as I speak about wide receiver. Oh, no, that's fine. Jamal Agnew has signed in Jacksonville. Yeah, do Jacksonville, do they move Chark on? Do we see a Golladay or a Juju end up in Jacksonville with the shiny new Trevor Lawrence and LaVisca Chenault and whoever else they add? That could be fun. But I don't know. What about you? Do you think any of these big guys end up really relevant somewhere?
I think the Colts sign one. I don't know who, but I think the Colts will pass and they will sign one of Golladay or Juju. I think that one is. I think the Colts are the big domino here, and I can definitely see them getting a weapon for Carson Wentz. I think the other one is a very good question, because it's easy to say the Jets. It's very easy to say the Jets. They've got now the most money on the board. Now the Patriots have gone all in. I don't think they will. I think if I'm looking at, I could see Oakland going, or not Oakland, sorry, Las Vegas Raiders going for one of these guys. It wouldn't shock me that John Gruden would go out and get Juju. It just wouldn't shock me in the slightest. Or Golladay. It wouldn't shock me that Gruden went in and made a big move. That's kind of... I think the Raiders are going to be an interesting player in this. So, I think they're an interesting one. I think it's going to be very... the players I'm really interested in seeing, where does Trent Williams go? Does he re-sign with the 49ers? You know, who's going to give money to Bud Dupree, who's the best edge rusher left on the board? You've got Henriksen, who's another great edge rusher. You've got Carl Lawson, who's another great edge rusher. I mean, we're talking about some great edge rushers. I don't understand why the Bengals didn't do anything to keep Carl Lawson. I think that's shocking. I think Clowney's going to end up with some money. Joe Tooney's the best offensive lineman on the board. He's definitely going to get paid somewhere. I think there's some interesting Danica Gokwe's out there. Will Fuller, we keep forgetting about. So I think it's interesting what's going to happen with a number of these players. The ones I feel confident of projecting, James Winston, I think will go to New Orleans. I think that is done deal. I think we're just waiting on cap to sort it out, but I think they've probably agreed something. I think James White will come to the Buccaneers. I'd be shocked if he doesn't go if he goes anywhere else. Well, because you also don't forget they're losing Fournette. Fournette will go in free agency. Someone's going to give Fournette money. Wouldn't shock me if it was someone like Arizona would do it. I'm waiting to see what players like Hassan Reddick do. Justin Houston, I think, is going to get some cash. T.Y. Hilton, I think someone's going to pay him. There's rumors that Dalton is going to stay in Dallas. It's interesting. There's some good running backs in Chris Carson.
Kenyon Drake.
There's still some really good guys like John Brown. You know, there's a lot of interesting players in this free agency class. I'm looking all the way down on it and thinking it's pretty good. Some good corners in here as well. So I don't know, to be honest. I think it's going to be interesting.
I think you're right, though, with the sort of Christmas analogy, because being in the UK here, we will go to bed and then we'll wake up tomorrow morning to a whole slurry of news that it will be like Christmas morning, except it's several days long. So it's a good one.
Yeah, it's the gift of keep on giving. And that's why we, you know, Rich and I are going to catch everyone up overnight on the latest deals. And then we get, you know, there'll be the evening pods to talk about what's going on live. And I think tomorrow will be a busier day. I think there'll be a lot more deals done tomorrow as opposed to today. I think it's going to be a really exciting time. And I think if you are a fan of the NFL, this is as close to transfer deadline day as you're going to get. But I think it's better because it's longer.
It's a true inverse of deadline day.
Yeah. It is, because it's not all panic. It's like everything's open, everything's available, and I think Rich made the point earlier on the podcast that if you're a big player in this market, why would you want to go and get a deal today? It'd be tomorrow and Wednesday that you're going to be, or later on that you're going to make your deals, because you don't want to be the guy to set the market. You want the market to be set and you get paid over the odds. And that's why, you know, we're looking at the board. Who's come off the board that's absolutely at the peak of their position? Shaq Barrett, who we all are pretty confident wanted to stay in Tampa. He's just won a Super Bowl there. He's got the contract and the security he wanted. I don't think it's a big shock that he has stayed in Tampa. Jonnu Smith was probably the best tight end. I mean, people will tell me Hunter Henry, whatever. I think Jonnu Smith is better. Again, he's gone to the Patriots. He got a big deal. He set the market. But to be fair, he's gone to the Patriots. So I get it. But you haven't seen the premier offensive lineman yet. You haven't seen the premier wide receivers come off the board. And I don't think you're going to see them today. I think you're going to see them tomorrow or maybe even Wednesday. Because if I was Kenny Golladay, I'd be waiting for Juju. And if I was Juju, I'd be waiting for Kenny Golladay.
It's like the Spider-Man meme where they're all stood there pointing at each other.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, I think, you know, we're getting the deals now. Like you talked about, I was talking about typing away and Jamal Agnew, who's a punt returner. You know, they're the kind of deals I expect to get. I think you'll see one or two good ones today, but I don't think you're going to see elite level players coming off the board unless they're re-signing. If they're re-signing, that's different, because you know what you're buying in a rebuy. You know, like the Buccaneers know what they're getting in Shaq Barrett. The Lions know who they're getting in Romeo Okwara. You know, they know what they're buying. It's very different when you know what you're buying versus anything else. So I still think there's going to be a few relatively good names that come off the board tonight, but I think we're going to see some better deals coming. Well, mind you, Matt Judon's comfortable. I think that's quite a big name. I think the Patriots have gone out and made a real statement of intent, and definitely in the early hours of this legal tampering window, they're the big winners. I don't think anyone can argue otherwise.
I think you're probably right in the fact that the bigger names will go tomorrow, and it's almost as if this is the warm-up act for the show that's about to ensue.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, we've seen Matt Judon go. There'll be some big players go, but like the elite of the position. I mean, Matt Judon is about as good as you're going to get pass rushers, I think, given what was left on the board. I'm just thinking, was there anyone? I mean, Bud Dupree was coming off an ACL, and Trey Hendrickson and Carl Lawson maybe, but, you know, this was a stacked edge rusher free agency period. And to be honest, if I'm looking at teams that need edge rushers, I'd be buying them in free agency. I don't think I'd be drafting them this year. I don't think it's a great, from what I'm seeing, I don't think it's a great defensive line class.
Yeah,
I think it's stacked in quite a few places. Quarterback, wide receiver. I think offensive line solid. I don't think it's incredible, but I think it's solid. I think there's some good corners, but I think the D-line isn't great. I don't think if you're looking to get an edge rusher, I think you're buying one in this market, given the level. I mean, you look at the players and you don't get an edge rusher free agency class like we have this year. So people are going to, if you've got the cap money this year, now's a good time to go buy a good edge rusher.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like Murph said, Rich and Murph are going to catch you up some point tomorrow morning, afternoon, with all the overnight news, and then pods will drop periodically throughout the week, keeping you right up to date with the free agency madness. And as I'm saying that, Lee is writing on the show doc something about Kenny Golladay, but he's copied it in a huge font. Josina Anderson has said, I just got off the phone with Lions wide receiver Kenny Golladay, who said, I'm being patient right now. I'm just enjoying the process. So big decision ahead.
Interesting. Yeah, which I think he says he's going to be waiting around for a couple of days. And if I was him, that's exactly what I would be doing. I would be waiting, let the market set, and then go and get your money, because I think he is going to get paid.
Yeah, so if watching on the video, Lee said people are guessing that it's a bidding war and he's just sitting back and letting it happen, and may the best team win. So, yeah, this is an exciting period for us football heads. And like Murph said, it's as close to deadline day as you're going to get. So we just get 3, 4, 5 days of it, which is fantastic news. So I guess, Murph, you'll be back in people's ears tomorrow afternoon. Rush Nation, Lee, thank you for everything so far behind the glass. Much more to come. Enjoy the start of legal tampering, Rush Nation. There is a whole load of news ahead of us.
But are you both back tomorrow evening?
Tomorrow's Tuesday. Lee can't do Tuesday, so we'll see what happens. But something will happen, no doubt. Yeah. Rush Nation, until Murph and Rich are back in your ears tomorrow, don't forget, keep rushing.